I want to talk about a really major theme in the scriptures, and that is that the essence of judgment is going on now. Now, I realize, of course, that the Bible talks about a judgment day when we shall come before the Lord Jesus, and he on God's behalf will, as it were, go through all the issues in our lives and will judge us. And so it shall be, but the metaphor, like any metaphor, breaks down. It is not absolutely exact, because a human judge is supposed to be looking at evidence, weighing it up, balancing this against that, and coming, therefore, to a conclusion on the basis of evidence presented and a meeting with the accused. Well, that is not really how God's judgment operates, because God knows all things. The purpose of the Day of Judgment is therefore not really for his benefit. So why is there a judgment? You know, why do we not just go straight into God's kingdom when Jesus comes back? Well, I can only conclude that the purpose of judgment is for our benefit. But the essence of judgment is going on right now. Man is in the dock, as it were, before God right now. And the final judgment is not going to be at all for God to somehow get information and go through the mental process of weighing it all up. He's doing that right now. And I suppose that if there were no day of judgment, if there was no concept at all of this, well, okay, so we would die. You come to your end from cancer in a hospice or whatever, fading in and out of consciousness, or you are crashed in a road accident, or sudden pain in the chest, and you think, I've had a heart attack, and the next you know, the kingdom. And so, how are we going to die? Because we shall all die, that is for sure. Is it really going to be appropriate that the next thing we open our eyes and, well, I'm in the kingdom of God? I just don't think we'd really be ready. I don't think we would appreciate what we have been given. And there are all sorts of interpersonal issues that, unfortunately, remain unresolved in, I was going to say most people's lives, but more accurately, I think everybody's life. There are unresolved personal issues with other people. And, well, what's it going to be? Like, wow, open your eyes and, oh, Duncan's in the kingdom of God. Oh, oh no. Or whoever, you know, Sally's here. Oh, wow. And the last thing we knew, we were having an argument or sending horrible emails to each other or whatever it might be. There's plenty of evidence in the Bible that the final judgment will have a public dimension. You know, the rejected shall walk naked, and Revelation 16, and we shall see their shame. There will be a grouping of sheep and goats. And Jesus says to the Jews, you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob go into the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. So why that public dimension? Well, I think it is, again, for our education. So judgment has, if you wish, a didactic purpose, a teaching intention. And the people being taught are us, we who shall be present there. But I want to dwell really upon this amazing idea that God is right now enthroned as judge of our lives. The judgment is sitting right now. We are come, Hebrews 12, to God the judge of all right now. Psalm 139 verse 2 says that we are now in God's presence, and yet the presence of God is very much associated with judgment language. You see 2 Thessalonians, for example, is always talking about the coming of Jesus there in every chapter in Thessalonians. It talks about the Lord's coming and the rejected being destroyed from his presence. And yet we are in his presence right now. God right now is trying and testing and judging our ways and our motives. Psalm 139:23, very clear about that. And again in Psalm 139:19, surely you will slay the wicked, O God. Well, that's at the Day of Judgment, because they don't get slain by him necessarily now. So therefore depart from me, you men who love blood. So then, we are to perceive this, that people who are acting in a violent and abusive way are not going to be in God's kingdom and will be judged by him, And we just don't want to have connection with those people now. Another example, Psalm 75, verse 7. God is the judge, not will be, but God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. Well, the final putting down and setting up will be at the day of judgment, because Jesus alludes to this in Luke 14, 10, where he talks about in the parable about the man who's asked to go up higher, and the one who thinks he should have the best place is put down lower. But God is the judge. He is now putting down one and setting up another. But that's not visibly seen in life today. Clearly enough, the idea is that he's doing that in his mind. He is judging now in his own mind. That's what's going on right now. And this is such a major theme of the Bible, because we ought to realize the importance of life right now. I'll give you another one, Psalm 7, the Lord will judge the people. God judges, present tense, the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He will sharpen his sword, he has bent his bow and made ready the arrows upon it. So God will judge, but he is judging right now. He's angry with the wicked right now. He is preparing the bow and the arrows and the sword for the final judgment, but he is judging right now. The arrow is, as it were, prepared in the bow, the sword is sharpened. There will be no weighing up of evidence at the last day. The judgment process is ongoing. God right now, even while we're sleeping, is searching and testing out our ways and our motives. See this in Job 7, verse 18. Job marvels at this, that God is searching us so closely, probing our motives. Why did she say that? What did he really mean by that statement? Etc. Psalm 26, verse 2. Again, God is judging and searching out our ways. And it's because of that that David can ask God to judge him now. Again, you see this in Psalm 26, verse 1. He wants to be judged right now because he realizes the judgment is now. Isaiah 26, verses 7 to 9. God now weighs up the path of our lives, but later he will openly show his judgments. Well, what is the path of your life? It's the overall direction. And that is what God is now probing and weighing up right now. So David is not frightened about future judgment. He keeps asking God to hurry up and judge the people, because he knows that the essence of it is going on right today. The Lord will judge the people at the last day. It's quoted in Hebrews 10:30. Judge me now, O Lord, according to my righteousness. That's Psalm 7. He knows it's going to come, the articulation of it all, but he asks for it right now. And there's a sense in which judgment is, the ongoing judgment is an encouragement to us. In Isaiah 49, verse 4, the servant, who is God's people and yet also finally the Lord Jesus, despairs that perhaps he has labored in vain. And yet he remembers, my judgment is right now with the Lord, and my work is with my God right now. So his judgment, the judgment of his life, his works, etc., his labor, which appeared to have been in vain, was right now with God. And you look at Malachi. Well, God prophesied he would send his messenger and then his Messiah, his son. And that was to be the manifestation of the God of judgment. So Jesus, by his very being amongst men, was and is their judge. God visited his people. Luke 7:16. But the idea of God visiting his people is always in the Old Testament the idea of judgment. And so Jesus was, in that sense, the insistent judge of all, just by his very being. That's why I think Mark begins his gospel by quoting that Malachi passage, as if to say that the appearance of Jesus was, in essence, the judgment of man. And that's why, Malachi 3 verse 5, God comes near to man in judgment. But that is what happened in God's coming, as it were, through his Son, when Jesus came. He was the manifestation of the God of judgment. And so the relevance of this, I think, to, for example, when we break bread, is that we remember when Jesus talks about his upcoming death in John 12, he says, now is the judgment of this world. That we, standing before him enthroned in glory on the cross, we are in fact standing before judgment. It elicits naturally self-examination from us. Another one, Psalm 9, is all the way through the scriptures. You sit on the throne judging righteously. This is going on right now. He's not talking about a future day. God is enthroned judging right now. But Yahweh reigns forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. Well, he is sitting on the throne judging righteously, but he has prepared his throne for judgment. He will, this is Psalm 9:8, he will judge the world in righteousness. And he will give judgment to the peoples in uprightness. That's quoted, Acts 17:31, about the final day of judgment. So he's saying that you are now sitting on the throne judging righteously, and you will do so at the last day. This means that the judgments of God at the last day are not some unknown mystery to us, because we have access to his judgments, the basis upon which he will judge right now. In that, God's word is very often called his judgments, all through Psalm 119, Psalm 147, 19, all the time. God's words are his judgments. The record of his historical judgments is his judgments. His commands are his judgments. So in his word, we see his judgments, how he judges. And in all the wealth of biblical history, you see examples of how those judgments, those principles behind his judgment, have been articulated with men in practice. So if we walk in the way of God's judgments, Isaiah 26, 7 and 8, if we walk in a way of life, in our overall direction of life, temporal slips, I suppose, notwithstanding, but if our overall path of life is in the way of God's judgments, we can look ahead to the final judgment with absolute confidence, because the way of the just is therefore God's way. So then, in absolutely every way, we can look forward to the day of judgment with absolute confidence. Now, of course, we are saved by grace and not by our works. And we should be able to come to a position where we say that if I die now, or if Jesus comes back right now, I will, by God's grace, be in his kingdom. That is the good news. And really, if we cannot be sure of those things, then it seems to me that we have not really grasped the gospel at all. Because what then have we got? We've just got a load of worrying information and knowledge that has made us responsible. Whereas the good news, surely, is that by God's grace, we shall be saved. We shall be justified. And he wants to save us. You know, God is not somehow indifferent. He's not looking at man and saying, well, you know, I've done all I can for you. It's over to you. It's up to you what you make of it. Okay, let's say you get on at the day of judgment and I'll have a look. I'll open the books and have a look at how you've behaved. Not at all. And grasping this really shows that we are living now as if we are standing in the dock before God. Every attitude, every word, which make up, of course, the overall path of our lives, this is being lived out with God, as it were, weighing up what we're saying and what we're doing. That's why in Proverbs 18 it says that a fool's mouth calls out for his own destruction. It calls for stripes to be laid upon him. Well, this is the picture of the final judgment. Remember how Jesus says that some people will be beaten with, as it were, many stripes and some with few stripes. But according to our words, we are calling out for that in this life. So talk about watch your words. Watch your words, watch your ways. Not because we are saved by the iron will of self-control. Not because we can buy our way into God's kingdom by good works. Not at all. But all the same, we who have been saved by grace will be judged. Life matters. It matters how we think, how we talk, how we live, our walk in life, our overall direction of life. That is what is being judged. And it's being judged right now. And that's why, as you see, I hope, all through the scriptures, you've got this theme that the essence of judgment is now.